From the Earl Carroll Theater in Hollywood, Philco Corporation, world's largest radio manufacturer, presents... Your Radio Hall of Fame. Honoring today, Lionel Barrymore, Etta Hopper, and St. Patrick. And now, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Paul Whiteman.
Thank you. And for the Philco Corporation, welcome to Radio's Hall of Fame. On many radio programs, it's customary for a door to open, at which point the master of ceremonies registers great surprise and shrieks, "Oh, goody, guest star, what are you doing here?" Now, they all know what Goody is doing on the program because they've been talking it over for a week. Just as I've been talking to Hedda Hopper about a second consecutive appearance in Radio's Hall of Fame. So here I am, the unsurprised Paul Whiteman, introducing our expected guest, Miss Hedda Hopper, as she stands at the top of the stairway to the stars.
Last week, here in Philco's Hall of Fame, I was so impressed with Paul Whiteman's Stairway to the Stars that immediately after the program, I told Paul about a young Irish lad with a divine voice. And I'm very flattered to say Paul agreed with my judgment.
I do indeed, Hedda. I think young John Gary has a fine talent. John, how old are you?
11, going on 12.
Been doing much singing?
Oh, I sang in a church choir and had a few other jobs.
I think he's a little bit nervous, Paul.
I am a little, but I'll be all right as soon as I start singing.
All right. What would you like to sing?
Danny Boy.
Oh, Danny Boy, the pipes are calling from glen to glen and up the mountain.
Johnny, you don't really need to thank me. I've felt for a long time that if radio is going to progress, it must develop and encourage new talent like you. So I'm glad to give you a hand up the Stairway to the Stars.
Johnny sure has a wonderful voice, and believe me, you'll get a new idea of radio listening when you hear him over a new Philco. Because these Philco radios are new all the way through, with improved design from the inside out, and sparkling with exclusive new features that are 10 years ahead of your pre-war radio. Everybody is talking about Philco's sensational new automatic radio record player. The new way to play records. Just put a record in the slot, close the door, and it plays. And Philco's new portable with a special miniature tube circuit. Philco's patented dynamic reproducer that plays your records the same way the best broadcasting studios do. Philco's advanced FM, the first true FM detector ever invented. They're all new, and only Philco has them. Remember, you get a plus with a Philco. The plus that has made Philco famous for quality the world over.
Finest pictures, and now over one of radio's most pleasant programs, the mayor of the town. And so it's with great pleasure that we light the marquee on Philco's Radio Hall of Fame for the first appearance of Lionel Barrymore.
Well, Paul, as a good Irishman, I'm happy to see you decked out the hall in emerald green.
Oh, green is my favorite color, Lionel.
Well, in that case, you should come out to MGM.
Why MGM?
We've got the green years out there. Get it, Paul?
Well, hit me over the head with a shillelagh. The subtlest picture plug as I've ever heard.
Paul, I've been cramming for my appearance here in Radio's Hall of Fame on this 17th day of March.
No, you really have, Lionel?
Yep, yeah. Let's get that young Irish lad over, will you? I want to talk to him.
Oh, Johnny.
John, do you know who St. Patrick was?
Well, sure, Mr. Barrymore. He was an Irishman who lived a long time ago. And he was a saint.
Well, that's all I knew about St. Patrick a week ago. I thought he was a sort of an Irish Pied Piper with snakes. But, Johnny, I'll tell you a little secret. He wasn't even an Irishman.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
That is true, Paul, absolutely true. He was born on the border between Scotland and England. He was a Roman citizen, like Caesar and Brutus and Cicero.
Well, how did he get to Ireland?
Well, now, if you like, Johnny, I'll tell you the story.
Oh, that'd be fine.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, at appropriate intervals, I'll even take the very great liberty of playing the good saint. Now, come on over here, Johnny, and sit down beside me. As a young lad, Patrick, whose name at the time was Benaventa Bernier, used to stand on the Scottish shore and look across the Irish Sea to that green land called Erin. Now, one evening, a gang of pirates landed on the beach.
Hey, there's the Scottish Erin. He'd make a good shepherd for the king. After him, lads.
To give you an impersonation of the young saint being captured by pirates. It's enough to tell you that he fought valiantly, but they carried him off to Ireland in slavery.
Well, Mr. Barrymore, is that how St. Patrick came to be an Irishman?
No, Johnny. No, my boy. It was later that Ireland took him to her heart. But now, for 6 miserable, starving years, the prisoner, Patrick, herded sheep. His life was lonely and hard on the barren mountain slopes. And, as it will to many men alone in the wilderness, the wind brought him voices. So Patrick escaped, and he was taken aboard as part of the crew. Storms drove the vessel on the shores of France, and for 28 days the men wandered, starving, till they found food and shelter.
Gee, Mr. Barrymore, that sounds just like Clark Gable in Adventure.
Yes, Johnny, it does, doesn't it? Yeah. Well, now, there's lots more excitement in St. Patrick's life, too. You see, in spite of all, he loved Ireland and its wonderful pagan people. He wanted to bring them into the true faith. So for many years he studied, and at last he was consecrated the second bishop of Ireland. The Irish had a pagan festival which coincided with the Christian Easter. And the brave Patrick decided that this was the time to strike hard.
But you agree, to build a fire during these druid ceremonies is absolutely forbidden. The king will have your head for this.
Oh, 'tis a small risk, Dennis. Set the logs ablaze.
Set it ablaze, boys. His grace says set it ablaze.
You know, your fire has violated the Feast of Spring.
But, sire, I would have violated my own faith had I not celebrated the resurrection of our Lord Jesus at Easter time.
You presume to set your faith against my wishes and my laws?
Aye, that I do, sire.
I like your courage, Patrick. But you're dangerous to me. Too dangerous, I think. Lock him in his chains again.
Well, St. Patrick was condemned to death.
And then he was killed, I guess, Mr. Barrymore.
No, John. He converted some of the king's advisors to Christianity. They saved Patrick, and Patrick converted the king.
Where did the story about all the snakes come from?
Well, now, you know, Johnny, the Irish are a fanciful people with wondrous imagination. They quickly built legends around their beloved bishop. But the story of the snakes is one of those legends. The part of it I like best is the end. St. Patrick got rid of all the snakes in Ireland but one, and this wily old serpent refused to leave. So Patrick said to him, "Now if you'll just wriggle into this box I've made here, serpent."
"But why should I, Patrick? I'm happy as I am."
"Ah, you've never had a home, and now I've built you one. Surely you aren't going to be so uncivil as to refuse it."
"That's very kind of you, I'm sure, Patrick. But that box, you know, it's a mite small for me."
How can you say such a thing? Sure, I've had enough to do with snakes in my life to know how to build a house for one. You'll have to prove to me it's too small."
"But how do you want me to do that, Pat?"
"Get in. Get into the box, serpent. Prove it to me."
"Well, I'll try it."
That's it. Now, I'm sorry to slam the lid on you, serpent, but you're not wanted in Ireland, and you've got to go.
Gee, Mr. Barrymore, that's a mean thing to do, even to a snake.
Yes, it is, Johnny, but that snake really got a break. Because St. Pat wrapped him up and sent him to Ray Milland in Hollywood.
Mr. that up, Mr. Barrymore.
Yeah, I'm afraid I did, John.
Golly, Mr. Barrymore. That story sure is interesting.
Yes, Lionel, and I know that our other listeners were as interested as Johnny. May I tell you again how pleasant it's been to honor you here in Radio's Hall of Fame. We'll invite you back again soon, and I hope you can make it.
Oh, you know I can, Paul. A good day, ladies and gentlemen.
It seems like only yesterday I sailed from out of Cork. A wanderer from Erin's Isle, I landed in New York. There wasn't a soul to greet me there and a stranger on your shore. But Irish luck was with me here and riches came galore. And now that I'm going back again to dear old Erin's Isle, my friends will meet me on the pier and greet me with a smile. Their faces, sure, I've almost forgot I've been so long away. But me mother will introduce them all and this to me will say. Shake hands, once, oh, my boy, and here is your sister.
And here is your sister.
And there's the girl you used to swing down by the garden gate.
The garden
Shake
gate.
Hands with all the neighbors, and kiss the Colleens all. You're as welcome as the flowers in May to dear old Donegal. They'll give a party when I go home, and they'll come from near and far. They'll line the roads for miles and miles with Irish jaunting cars. The spirits will flow and we'll be gay. We'll fill your hearts with joy. The piper will play an Irish reel to greet the Yankee boy. We'll dance and sing the whole night long, such fun as never seen. The lads will be decked in corduroy, the Colleens wearing green. There'll be thousands there that I've never saw. I've been so long away. But me mother will introduce them all and this to me. Say, hey, Uncle Mike, me boy, and here is your sister Kate. And there's the girl you used to swing down by the garden gate. Shake hands with all the neighbors and kiss the Colleens all. You're as welcome as the flowers in May, dear old Donegal. Meet the Brannigan, Flanagan, Milligan, Gilligan, Duffy, McCuffy, Malacky, Mahone, Rafferty, Lafferty, Donnelly, Connolly, Dooley, O'Hooley, Muldowney, Malone, Madigan, Cadigan, Lanahan, Flanahan, Hagan, O'Hagan, O'Hoolahan, Flynn, Shanahan, Manahan, Fogarty, Hogarty, Kelly, O'Kelly, McGinnis, McGinn. And kiss the Colleens all. You're as welcome as the flowers in
dear old Donegal and dear young Martha O'Telton. Martha McCallean, I'm glad St. Pat's Day only comes once a year. I'm running out of brogue.
Well, Paul, it was your idea having an Irish program.
Well, I'm not too worried, because our next guest is one of the great Irish tenors of the old sod, whose lilting voice has thrilled millions with...
How do you do?
Thank you.
Yes. Why, it's Bert Gordon, the Mad Russian.
Yes.
How can you stand there and say that you're from Ireland?
I am from Ireland.
What part of Ireland?
Coney Island.
You're an imposter, and I'm sorry, but you'll have to go.
Ungrateful one. Not only am I wearing a green suit and a green tie, but I'm staying up all night last night eating pickles and ice cream to get this green complexion.
Russian, if you want to pass as an Irishman, you should speak with a nice Irish brogue.
You'll introduce me to one.
Russian, you're very confusing.
Mine dear Mr. Whitefish.
Whiteman's the name. And you're not an Irish tenor.
Mr. Whitepants, listen here. Tora-lora-lora, tora-lora-lai, tora-lora-lora.
That's an Irish lullaby. Russia, what brought you to Ireland in the first place?
What brought me to Ireland in the first place? I was homesick. I will never forget the time I was with the King's Fusiliers. Armed to the teeth, loaded down with mine hunting paraphernalia. There I was in the Irish jungle when suddenly is confronting me a ferocious lion.
A ferocious lion? What did you do, Russian?
I killed him with my club.
Oh, wait a minute. You mean to say you killed a ferocious lion with a club?
There were 200 members of my club. But don't think that lion took it lying down. He had a pal, a tiger, who was watching the whole repartee. I took my trusting rifle, I took careful aim, and with one bullet, I hit the tiger in the toe and in the head.
Oh, Russian, how could you possibly hit a tiger in the toe and in the head with one bullet?
The tiger was scratching his head. But all the byplay was very infinitesimal and never again.
What do you mean, never again?
Never again will I stay up all night to learn a word like that. So to continue, as I start to pick up the tiger for a souvenir, surrounding me is 15 man-eating cannibals, giving me the once-over lightly.
You were really in a spot.
15-1. I believe I was outnumbered. As I turn to make my departure, confronting me in the back of me is 15 more man-eating cannibals.
30-1.
They grabbed me, threw me in a boiling pot. Mine goose was cooked. I was never so burned up in my life. They were cooking, I was boiling. I was boiling, they were cooking. Finally, the cannibal king is coming along and looking on me. He says, "Boys, what's cooking?" By this time, I am sizzling.
Then what did they do?
They prepared me and seasoned me to their taste.
And then what happened?
What happened? They got indigestion. What happened?
Pierre, that reminds me.
Of what, Paul?
I wonder if our listeners realize what it means for Philco to be a leader of a great new industry like radio ever since 1930.
Well, lots of changes since then, Paul.
Changes? Just look at a picture of a 1930 automobile. Try and remember what the map of the world looked like in 1930. And remember yourself listening on your Philco radio to my band playing... Peggy O'Neill, remember? There's been a lot of water over the dam since you first danced to that tune.
And a lot of radios have come and gone, Paul. But just one leader, Philco.
You bet, Pierre. And one look at the new Philcos tell you why.
Yes, Paul, quality. The plush you get with a Philco. New ideas like Philco's automatic radio record player. Philco's patented new dynamic reproducer.
Pierre, I've heard them all since the first magnetic pickups. And Philco's new dynamic reproducer beats any way to play records I've ever heard. Take it from me, you're going to get a thrill when you hear a new Philco playing.
Ask your dealer about Philco's patented new dynamic reproducer, the kind used by the best broadcasting studios. And now, for the first time, available for your home.
Now the Radio Hall of Fame Orchestra and Chorus salute St. Patrick's Day with a medley of tunes pointed directly at the Emerald Isle.
Has anybody here seen Kelly? Sure, his hair is red. His eyes are blue. my dear little Rose. She's my steady lady, most everyone knows.
For New York right after the show today to line up future Hall of Fame programs. So I've asked my very good friend to take over next week. And here he is, Rudy Vallee.
Paul, you're leaving me with a bang-up show, when next week the Philco Radio Hall of Fame pays honor to one of radio's finest programs, Suspense, starring Agnes Moorhead. In that great radio drama, Sorry, Wrong Number, I sincerely hope that I will be able to fill Pop's shoes. It'll be a privilege.
Thanks, Rudy. And I deem it a privilege having you to take over my duties. And now, ladies and gentlemen, this is Paul Whiteman saying thanks to Lionel Barrymore, Hedda Hopper, John Garrett, and Burt Gordon. Philco was honored to honor you.
Be sure to listen to Philco's other show, The Breakfast Club, with Don McNeil over these same stations Monday through Friday. Hedda Hopper can be heard on her own show for Armour's Treat. This is ABC, the American Broadcasting Company.